Harry, et...
les performances sont en anglais, j'ai traduit les textes, donc les textes sont projetés en français.
I invoke our mothers, our grandmothers, and our female ancestry. I invoke the teachers, healers, warriors, mentors, women and femmes of history. I invoke the women and femmes of history, those who died, those who lived, those who fought, and those who resisted. I invoke the femmes of all the bloods, ages, lineages, generations of witches and fighters who infused the universe with love, rage, and magic. I honor my great-great-grandmother and all those women who came on the ship, from the continent to the island, hands tied, bodies battered, minds resilient. I honor the women who never made it to the shores, those warriors who had to die, their black flesh an offering to the creatures of the sea, their blood a sacrifice that continuously flows in our oceans, our seas, and all our water bodies. I honor my spiritual lineage and those generations of women and femmes who navigated patriarchy and colonialism on sugarcane plantations. I honor my mother, Vimala Devi, teacher, mentor, nurse, caretaker, inspiration and embodiment of fem power. I honor her mother, Dhanapati, woman whose resilience knew no bounds and whose story still remains untold, repressed, forgotten, chained to the silence of history. And I invoke strength and wisdom from Goddess Kalima, Redeemer of the Universe, Goddess of Time, Change and Destruction, Goddess with bloody eyes and a black tongue, who cuts patriarchy and wears it as an accessory around her neck, who steps on misogyny and crushes it with the strength of her foot. Imagine real spiritual lineage. Past, present, and future. Those women and femmes who push the universe to always be greater than itself, better than itself, I invoke and I honor. When I tell my mother that I am trans, her lips wobble a minor tremor, but her silence does not span the 3 decades of my life. She smiles with compassion, she speaks her golden heart, soft, warm, welcoming. Her eyes cast a resilient glow. She does not need to tell me about our history. She does not need to tell me about our history because our lineage is one of silence. Our lineage is one of silence that we weave in between our intimacies. But her body, her brown, exhausted body speaks in of her childhood. I see in her old eyes the dirty gullies of porpoise gray, dusty and stifling under the burning sun. I see in the drooping ridges around her cheeks the cold embrace of banyan trees when the summer heat became too heavy to bear. I see in the shakiness of her lips melted dog gluing itself to her 8-year-old feet. In the streets of the capital, poverty was a sticky business. Melted blackness stained itself to the soft skin of childhood. I see in my mother's shiny forehead, in those beads of sweat that place themselves evenly on her skin, a child pushing a putu cart. Gato putu, that cake that her godmother made diligently with freshly crushed coconut and ground rice, and that she pushed in a cart every single day of her life, all the way to City Center. When I look deep into the battle trenches under my mother's eyes, I see copper coins shifting hands, churchgoers, beggars, sex workers, children, faithful and unfaithful, unwrapping sweet one, coconut one, rice cake from the humidity of newspapers. They dip it into hot black tea, an everyday ritual of my mother's childhood in City Center. When I tell my mother that I am trans, her withered hands shake like dried twigs forgotten by history, but her silence doesn't span the 3 decades of my life. She smiles, compassion. She speaks her golden heart, soft, warm, welcoming. Her eyes cast a resilient glow, and she actually tells me, it's okay, Kama, don't worry, people like you have always existed. Her heartbeat goes, images, fragmented narratives frame her haunted soul. She tells me that we come from a history and a culture where the women men and the men women have always existed. She tells me that those people are present in all our myths and our religions, in our everyday life, and for as long as she can remember. Viedimun. The elders, they always spoke of the men, women, and the women, men. My mother then tells me that she apparently spent her childhood with a neighbor who was of my kind. But she then closes her heart, she stitches it back to darkness, she frags the unspoken between our bodies, because our lineage is one of silence, our lineage is one of silence that we weave in between our intimacies. Every day since, I dream about my mother's childhood, and I dream of that neighbor, this person who was of my kind. Sometimes I call her Sarika. Sometimes I call her Devika. Sometimes I call him Persian. Most of the times, I like to call her Lalita. I like to think and dream of Lalita with round shoulders and raven curly hair, a tad too greasy, but that still bounces up and down the nape of her neck as she walks in the morning sun. I like to dream of Lalita with a flat nose and a blood-red binti on her forehead as she wraps her rotten body in a faded grey shawl to go to work every morning. Lalita rubs coconut oil in her jet black hair every Sunday. Lalita eats rice dal and pickles during the week, and on weekends she treats herself to some dried salted fish cooked with onions, fresh thyme, and tomatoes, and bonchibugai pasosali bien mousse. Lalita has a job. She works in the tobacco factory in the capital city with all the poor women whose husbands had died in obscure wars that nobody on the island really knows about. They were simply fighting a war for the British, and they never came back. In her lunch break, Lalita does not step out with the other woman to roll tobacco in small newspaper pieces that burn their darkened lips. Instead, she stays at her workstation and she prays to Goddess Durga. She prays for safety and a long life. When it gets hot in the capital city, Lalita takes out a white embroidered handkerchief from her pocket and she wipes the pearls of sweat from her forehead. On Sundays, Lalita makes fruit pickles that she dries on her roof, watching attentively so the crows don't eat them, and sometimes, if she's in a good mood, she'll give some dry fruit to my mother and her sisters. Lalita likes flower patterns. Lalita loves embroidery. Lalita has a radio set, and she listens to the news every morning and to all Hindi songs every evening. Lalita has a lover. But does Lalita have a lover? Well, I'm not sure whether Lalita has a lover or not, but this is Lalita, and I dream about her every night, imagining details that make her a little bit more real every day. She draws her life like a moving sculpture, a figure only ever so ephemeral, becoming and unbecoming herself with every single one of my dreams. When I tell my mother that I am trans, she does not tell me about Sarika or Pajani or Debakumar. She doesn't even tell me about Lalita. Instead, my mother tells me that she is an uneducated woman, but that she feels much pride that I went to school, that I can read and write, and that I speak English and I speak French. She tells me that because of her lack of education, she does not have the words for it. But that she tells me that she understands and that people like me have always existed. She calls me Zomfam, which in our local language means man-woman, with a hyphen between the two. Zomfam. Zomfam. Femme. I take pleasure in being a Zom femme, a man woman being neither Zom nor femme, and yet being both, and being non, navigating this middle passage in the space between Zom and femme, the interstices where travelers like me find their truth, the undefinable space that structures my diaspora, the hyphen that holds and wraps my gender experience. Zom femme. Zom, fam, zom, fam. But my mother then tells me that I shouldn't call myself a zom fam, that she is an uneducated woman and that she doesn't know those things, but that she's happy, that I have an education, that I can call myself trans, that I have the words and the language to name and describe the discomfort of my gender. And the constant shiftiness of wanting to tear off my skin, and along with my skin, my birth certificate, my passport, and all those other state central papers that dictate my gender. But deep inside me, there is a voice. Deep inside of me, there is a voice that speaks in the uneducated vocal tones of my mother, and this voice embroiders itself from pore to pore onto the surface of my skin. There is a voice that doesn't have the words or the vocabulary, but that reverberates goodness and music into my body, my heart beating the drums of my ancestors. There is a voice that did not go to school, that does not speak English and does not speak French, and yet echoes wisdom and truth in my bloodstream, like the waves of the ocean, the one that witnessed the loss of our languages. And that voice speaks to me. And that voice tells me in the uneducated tone of my mother that I do not need an imperial language to define myself, that I do not need to be trans in English and in French, that colonialism has already wrapped itself like a knot around my vocal cords. And even though our lineage is one of silence, even though our lineage is one of silence that we weave in between our intimacies, this voice exists deep within. This voice exists deep within, and it speaks like my mother, like my grandmother, like my great-grandmother, like my great-great-grandmother, like all those women and friends who fought to keep our language alive and to pass it on from generation to generation. So mother, I will listen to your uneducated voice. I will listen to the voices of our ancestry, those that dictate that I speak out loud. And when I'm done tearing off my skin, and out of my skin, my birth certificate, my passport, and all the other state sanctioned papers that dictate my gender, I will take every single piece of torn skin and paper, and I will paint them in gold and sting them back together with melted diamonds as I so desire. And I will build a fierce femme armor, a fierce femme armor that I will celebrate, an unbreakable, unshakable object of love that I will hold together with respect and dignity. And I will call this armor Zom Femme. When I tell my mother that I am trans, her lips wobble a minor tremor, but her silence does not span the 3 decades of my life. She does not need to tell me. She does not need to tell me about our history, because our language is one of a secret language. Our language is one of a long, long secret language that we weave between our intimacies.